Penguin Random House Canada presents Francie's Got a Gun by Carrie Snyder. Read for you by the author. For First Friends. The trees you planted in childhood have grown too heavy. You cannot bring them along. Rainer Maria Rilke, translated by Anita Barrows and Joanna Macy. Prologue. Begin. Do fragments make a whole? You wake in the early hours before your alarm sounds, and you wish you had someone to tell about this feeling washing your body of terror, nameless and blind, and hauling you back through time. What was it like to be you, when you were unformed and whole, innocent and brave, when everyone watched and nobody saw? Breathe, 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 you remind yourself. Breathe in, but also breathe out. You are curled tight on a futon on the floor, dim dawn light filtering through the high uncovered window. You can hear the birds. You remind yourself who you are, a strong woman, tough, ambitious. You've left behind childhood. You've earned the degree you could afford and a job. And you talk to your mom and your brother, or text with them regularly. And you've been training your body since you were a kid. And this summer, on the weekends, you're back to competing in road races, a half marathon, a triathlon, whatever you can sign up for and afford to get yourself to. You're never going to win, never going to be the best, but that's not why you do it. Why do you do it? You set one hand on your stomach and one hand on your heart. You stretch out flat on your back. You could say that your body has a spirit or a soul, but when you search for it, try to see it, it cuts out, like a firefly flickering on and off and gone in the night. You're not old, you've barely begun. Your capacity for growth feels infinite, but limited to your body. Maybe you're okay with that. Maybe you're not. Maybe you're torn, like your muscles, day in and day out, seeking endurance through suffering. But what if you don't want to suffer? What if you're done with all that? What if you want to rest, to relax, to forgive, to turn toward everything and everyone with hope and open arms? What then? What now? If you keep running through the same story, can you come around to a different end? 1. Gun Run. A lot of things were going wrong all at once. Francie couldn't feel her hands or lips or feet. She knew that the air was warm, thick, almost wet. And she knew that her jeans were sticking to her legs, like she was swimming, not running. Her arm hanging from her shoulder was so heavy. She knew that was the gun, but she couldn't feel it in her hand. It was as if in one sudden move, lurching forward, wrenching away. Francie had become someone else. Another girl entirely. Maybe not even a child. A stranger. Was it possible to split in two? To float above herself, like watching another person? Floating and watching. Floating and watching. She had no pity, only curiosity for this other girl, running, running, running. The girl, the other Francie, was a pretty good runner, but her feet were tangled in sagging cuffs, flapping sneakers, and she couldn't see so well, overgrown bangs, hair in her eyes. Her heart was going to hammer through her throat. The floating Francie could watch and wonder, without having to feel the crackle of fear, its electrical snap. The terrible thing that it seemed they had all been waiting for, silently, numbly, almost expecting, had happened, suddenly and all at once. Now, she had to run. There was no other choice but to hide and to run and to hide. It was like playing a game, but the game had no rules. "It's okay," she told herself, watching from above. "It's okay, because you've got the gun now. You've got the gun, not him." But she didn't want the gun. A lot of things were going wrong. The hot June afternoon, the tangling jeans, the neighborhood behind the school that she didn't know at all, with streets all hushed and grand and empty, smooth paved blackness turning round and round, as if to confuse her. She ran like a rat dropped into a maze. The gun. She forced herself to feel it in her hand, to wrap her buzzing fingers around it, tightly enough not to drop it by accident. It looked small, but it was heavy. Blunt-nosed, a snout like an angry little animal, one you could not make friends with or adopt or bring home, no matter how you tried. But Francie wasn't running home. She wasn't running anywhere, just away. The thought was almost enough to break her apart entirely. The floating Francie imagined what it would look like if the Francie who was running, hot and red and lost, down the middle of a silent street, was to shatter, break into all her parts. An arm, a leg, and then a kneecap, a toe, and into smaller and smaller bits, until she was nothing at all, invisible, scattered like dust. But that Francie did not shatter, did not stop, not quit. She heard the sound of a car or a truck turning into the street behind her, but she didn't look back, not even a glance. To look back would be the end. And this was not the end, not the end of Francie. The floating Francie suddenly saw through the other Francie's eyes, and it was like being pulled inside a tunnel, a quick tightening of vision, sharpened onto a still point of light ahead, everything else fading into a blur. She could hear her breath, harsh, wheezing, like a car with a bad muffler. Or was that the truck, the red pickup truck with the broken window behind her? Like in a dream she would dream over and over, Francie saw herself veering onto perfect green grass, soft with the click of soaking sprinklers. She was at the top of a steep hill. She was plunging down.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?